Let's welcome Ian as he comes to preach, shall we?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's great to be here, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? This is an amazing day. Anyone else cry through worship with me this morning? Okay, yeah, a few of us. It's a day that we've been longing for. It's a day that we're excited to be here for. Dave, if you're ready, just come to the front, just be ready to share in about a minute's time. So we're in a series, and Chris, if you get, give him that microphone. No, you come to the front, Dave, so you're ready. And we're in the middle of a series where we're revisiting prophetic words. So we've called it Prophecy, Prayers, and Promises. So we're revisiting prophetic words and themes that we've been given and carried as a church over 30 years of Open Door. Because we believe that God still wants to bring more fruit out of the things that he said in the past. And that, you know, what he's sown in the past is going to bear fruit into the future. And so we've looked so far at our name. We've looked at how that was given to us prophetically, Open Door. And Chris has already referred to that a little bit, about how we are open to God and open to you. So open to our community, open to our town. We've looked at intentional discipleship, or another way that we say that, being disciples who make disciples. So discipleship is a key thing for us as a church. And today we're going to be looking at some prophetic words that came around the theme of a phrase that was given and used quite a lot about 20 years ago in the church, believing big, building big. And it's appropriate that we're speaking on that today. But before I get into this, Dave had a prophetic word or a prophetic sense at the prayer meeting we had here about a week and a half ago, and I just asked him just to come and share that to help us this morning.
Yeah, it was at the last Wednesday meeting. I got a real sense that we're moving into a promised land. It's not just about the building, but something significant in the spirit is happening. There's a definite shift, isn't there? I don't know if you sense that. When Israel moved into the promised land from the desert, things were very different. Ian talked about leaving baggage behind and repentance as we move forward over the last couple of weeks. But I felt there was more to add to this. We need to put aside some of the ways we have done things in the past, or how we expect God to move as he's done in the past. We are moving into a new season, and God is going to move in unexpected and new ways. So let's not be careful to limit God or our expectations or be bound by traditions or ways we used to do things. He's calling us to tread new paths where we've not been before. This will require steps of faith in this unfamiliar territory, so be bold, be moving forward, and trust God as he leads us.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for sharing that. So I want to start off what I've got to say this morning by asking a question. I wonder, how do you feel about change? How do you feel about change? Which of us here would say we quite like change? Just give me a wave. You like new things. You like the fresh feel of things that come that are new. You embrace all of that. What about those of us who find change more difficult, that change can be a challenge? Maybe you like it when you've become accustomed to the way, the routines of doing things and the familiar, when things have become established. And we've got a mix, as you can see, a mix of people in the room, some who like change and some who find that more difficult. Let me ask another question. How many of us in the room would say that we would want to grow? How many of us would say we want to grow in life, as a person, in our relationship with God? Lots of people saying that they would like to be someone who is growing. But the reality is that we cannot grow without change. Okay, you cannot grow without change. The two go hand in hand. As we grow, things will change. It's inevitable. And as Christians and as a church, we need to expect that we are going to be growing, and we need to expect that we are going to be changing. That is the way that God has designed things to be. We're going to look at a passage of the Bible in a moment which speaks about the kingdom of God. And I just want to just very briefly explain what do we mean by the kingdom of God to help us understand this passage that we're going to look at. And when we talk about the kingdom of God, what we're talking about is the rule and the reign of King Jesus. The rule and the reign of King Jesus. And we see that on the earth in lots of different ways. We see it when Jesus comes with joy. He brings joy into our midst. We see it when he brings comfort into situations. We see his kingdom come when he brings his peace, when he brings healing, when he brings salvation, when he brings righteousness and justice. All of these things are part of the kingdom of God that Jesus brings into our situations. And we've sung a song this morning, and Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so Jesus encourages us to pray for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And that means that all of these things that are part of the kingdom of God, the joy of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the healing and the forgiveness of Jesus, all of these things, he's saying pray for those things to come. So we're going to read from Mark chapter 4, just a few verses. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And this is entitled "The Parable of the Growing Seed." So it says, "He," that is Jesus, is speaking about Jesus. "Jesus also said, 'This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come.'" You see, in this simple parable, what Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God is designed to grow. The seeds of the kingdom that are scattered around, nothing can stop them sprouting and growing. It says that the man in this story can choose to either sleep or to get up. It doesn't matter. The kingdom of God is growing. It makes it clear that the man doesn't really know how things are happening. This is not about his ability or his experience or his skill. Growth occurs in the kingdom of God. A seed produces a stalk, which produces a head, which produces a kernel, and ultimately there is a harvest. The kingdom of God is always growing, and the kingdom of God is always changing. Let's read on the next few verses. There's a second story that Jesus gives. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." So Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like a very small seed. I brought a very small seed this morning to show you. There you go. Can you see that? It's not actually a mustard seed. But yeah, there's a little seed there that's about the size of a mustard seed that is very, very small. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a seed which is very small, but that is planted and that grows. And the Message version of this, I quite like it, speaks maybe, you know, I don't know how familiar we are with mustard seeds. Maybe we have whole grain mustard. As I was chatting to Ange about this, she's saying, you know what a mustard seed's like, you have it in whole grain mustard. But I wouldn't be able to tell you a mustard tree if I saw one. But the Message version of this describes this in a more familiar way to our experience. It says it's like an acorn. Okay, I've got an acorn for you. You might be able to see that one just at the back. It's like an acorn that when it lands on the ground, it is quite small as seeds go. Yet once it is planted, it grows into a huge oak tree with thick branches. This acorn came from Priory Park. If you want to go and see the difference between a little acorn and a big oak tree, you can go there and have a walk and have a look. And as I said, the man doesn't really know how this growing happens. All by itself, it says, the soil produces grain. But we know, don't we, that God is the source. God is the source of the growth of the kingdom of God. He loves to make things grow. Paul writes about this to the Corinthians when they were having a bit of disagreement about which leader they were following. What some were saying they were following Paul, some were saying they were following Apollos. And Paul wrote this to them and he said, "I planted the seed, and Apollos watered it, but it is God that is making things grow. But it's God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And we can think about what we know from the story of the Bible. Think about Abraham, who, despite being unable to have children with his wife Sarah, was given a promise from God that his seed would become many descendants, as many as the stars or as many as the grains of sand. And it's about that smallness of the kingdom becoming bigger, growing bigger. You can think about Jesus, who was born into a seemingly irrelevant place. You know, he was born into Bethlehem. He came from Nazareth. They're places that weren't particularly significant on the map. And yet Jesus was born into those places, and the kingdom of God has grown from there. And Jesus is the savior of the world. And you can think about the early church, just a few disciples that gathered in an upper room that is now a worldwide family of brothers and sisters, believers in Jesus in many nations. And we can even think about it from our own perspective, Open Door, a few people that were called to St. Neots, meeting in a living room 30 years ago, seeds that were planted and have grown into what we know and see today. Isn't it amazing what God has done? Isn't it amazing how God grows his kingdom? Paul also writes to the Colossians. He says, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So from Scripture, we see that we should expect a healthy church to grow. We should expect the kingdom of God to be growing. We should expect growth in our lives. And when growth comes, I said this last week, that it comes in different ways. Sometimes you can see growth about going deeper and growing towards maturity. But sometimes it is just about numerical growth and size and scale. And we need to be prepared that as things grow, things will change. We know, don't we, that God speaks primarily through the Bible, but also we believe that he speaks to us prophetically. He speaks to us through men and women and children who have a sense of something that God may be saying for the church or for a particular person or a particular group. And so I want to come to this phrase, believing big, building big, which was a phrase that began to get used in Open Door about 20 years ago. I think it was probably around about the end of 2007. And particularly there was a prophetic word that came from a visiting speaker, a guy called Sam Poe, who came, brought a prophetic word that shaped some of our thinking around this phrase, believing big and building big. We were meeting at Ernulf School at the time. And Sam had been invited to preach. He did a great job of preaching, but actually the prophetic word that he brought as a leadership team, I was fairly new on the scene at the time, but I remember being in the leadership meetings around that time. We were really weighing, okay, what is it that Sam's saying, and what do we need to do about it? And I just want to bring a few pieces from that, a few phrases from that prophetic word for us today, so that we can be thankful for what God has done, but also to see what God is saying he still wants to do in us. He said this, he said, I believe that there is a wave of growth. There is a wave of enlargement that is coming upon you. Even multiplication, cells, which is what we used to call small groups. Cells or small groups are going to multiply. Perhaps congregations are going to multiply in God's ordered way. And so we see, don't we? We see the way that things have grown and multiplied. We have more small groups now than we had then, but we still need more. We have a bigger congregation now than we had then, but we're probably going to hit a point before too long where we're going to need more than one congregation. Whoops. What did I just do? All right, it wasn't me. but we need to be prepared for things to change and to grow and to multiply. He said this, I feel there's a harvest from different age groups coming. I see many young people being added, many young people. I love the fact that as a church, we are a church with people of all different ages. I've even spoken to new people who've come in this morning for the first time and said, I love the fact that there's different ages in the room. That is one of the things that marks us out as a church. And this promise to see many young people amongst us, that's something we've seen and we've witnessed before our eyes over recent times. But I believe that God has more for us. This is not the end of the journey. Then he said this, he said, the room is too small. This room is too small. This room is fine for today, but it's going to be too small. And this was about the sort of time, one of the things that we were doing as a leadership team at this time was weighing up, okay, we just feel the sense that God is calling us to begin to prepare to have a building of our own. And so at that point, 20 years ago, we began to speak about, we began to have gift days. We began to raise money. We began to pray for a building of our own. And we're here today. We're here today in a building of our own. It's taken 20 years to get here, but God has proved himself very, very faithful. And if you think about it, every single prayer that was offered up was like one of those little seeds that was planted at the time, 20 years ago, and has grown into what we're seeing today. Every pound that has been given was like a little seed that was planted and has grown into what we see today. Every hour in more recent years, every hour, maybe more over the last 12 months, every hour that has been spent investing into getting this building ready, painting the ceiling. Scott, if you're in the room, what a man. Scott has... Scott, I'm not able to mention everyone, but Scott has painted pretty much every piece of white in this auditorium, main hall that we're in, including the ceiling. And people that have invested, every hour that's been invested has been an investment into the kingdom of God and what God is growing. Sam went on to say, he said, there's enlargement that God is bringing. He's wanting to multiply. And so it's going to take everyone in this room hearing God, reaching out, ministering to people who are still in darkness. You see, this is when you get a prophetic word, sometimes you get things that God is going to do, and sometimes you get aspects of the prophetic word that is a call to action. It's a call to action to the church or to the people receiving it. Okay, there's stuff to be done. And this here where he was saying that everyone, it's going to take everyone here in this room to hear God, to reach out, to minister to people who are still in darkness, to do all that God is wanting to do in us and through us as a church, it's going to need all hands on deck. And that is true now more than ever. It's wonderful that we've got a building, but that means there's a whole load more stuff that we're responsible for. It means on a Sunday, as we grow, there's going to be a whole load more stuff that needs to be done. And we're not just about Sundays. There's loads of things that are going on throughout the week where we need people to be involved, to be serving, to be investing their time and their energy and their gifts. And so it's a call out to each of us. Will you get involved in what God is doing as he's growing his kingdom in and through us as a church? He also said, you're going to touch other nations right out of here, right out of this family, right out of this church more and more. Some of you this morning, this was 20 years ago, are going to find yourself being stirred by God about a particular nation. And God may be preparing some of you to go and serve in another place. Others are going to serve right here. And you're going to reach other nations that live right across the street from you. And I believe that this church is going to become increasingly multicultural. People from different places, different lands, different colors of skin, different languages as part of this fellowship. And I might be wrong, but I think as Sam was bringing that word, pretty much everyone in the room was white middle class. And that's who we were as a church at the time. But over the 20 years and wonderfully more recently, we've had an increased diversity as a church, and God is doing more amongst us. He's already done some of that, and he's already got more to do. And there's so much in the world today about where there's disunity, where people are fearful of one another, and the church is to be a picture. The church is to represent God's idea of people from many nations coming together to worship Jesus and to lift him high. And so we are to be an example to the town in how we model that. So Open Door Church, do we receive this word? Did we receive it then? Yes, and we began to invest and we began to multiply and we began to do different things. Do we receive it today? Yes, because we're not at the end of this word. God is still doing these things in this season. There was another key theme that I'm going to do on a totally different Sunday, on a different message, that we would be a body released in signs and wonders. And I want to speak into that on a separate day. But I feel like we need to hear this and be encouraged by it. But change isn't always easy. Change isn't easy. It can be unsettling. It can be disruptive. Some of you here, you might have been anxious coming in this morning because it's a new place. There's the fear of the unknown. Sometimes there's feelings of loss as things multiply. Anyone ever been in a small group that's multiplied? And the sense of loss of that, you've built this group and you've become close-knit and the rooms become full and the relationships have become established. But you know that actually to keep growing, we need to multiply. There's a sense of loss as well as a sense of excitement as groups multiply. There's relational challenges of growth. People that have been here many years and people that are coming in new and with different ideas, and how does that all work together and working all of that stuff out. But I want to encourage us that God is with us in this. There was another prophetic word that actually Tony, who sat down the front here, brought. 2010, I think, Tony. It doesn't remember. He brought this prophetic word which lived with us as a church, where he was speaking about change. And again, we were going through a period of change at the time. There were some leadership changes that were taking place, but I believe this is for us in this season as well. He felt that God was saying that God was going to bring change and we were to prepare for this. This was a change that would affect each and every one. And we were to look at it and we were to welcome it and not turn away or be afraid, because we don't have to fear the change that is coming. Change that will cause us to leap forwards. Change that will affect the way that the church operates. Change that will bring more fruit, much, much more fruit. This was brought in a season where there was change coming, but we're entering another season of change right now. And so this is relevant for us. He said the timing of this has not yet been revealed, but we need to get ready. God wants us to turn to him, to get on our knees and pray that this change will come about. Open our eyes and our minds and our arms to what God is doing. It is his will that we multiply and that we bear much fruit. So be ready for the change which is coming. And so just very quickly, I spoke on John 15 last weekend. I just want to remind us of some of the things in that verse very quickly. Three things that will help us to face change. If you're finding change difficult, I know some of us find it easier than others. The first thing is to welcome the change that is coming. Look, we can trust that God is the gardener and that he is good and he is faithful. And we don't need to turn away or be afraid. He says, I'm the true vine. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. We can trust that God is a good God gardener, and we can trust that Jesus is always working for the good of the church. And so we don't need to fear any change that is coming. But we can be honest with one another. We can embrace the change, but we can express how we're feeling as well. It's good to express how we're feeling when we're finding things difficult. And there's going to be times where we need to speak honestly with each other and say, look, I'm finding this really tough right now. I liked it the old way. That's okay. But ultimately, we need to trust the gardener and what he's doing. Secondly, in that prophetic word that Tony brought, he felt that God was saying, we don't need to turn away from the change. He said, don't turn away or be afraid. And he also said, God wants us to turn to him. So in seasons of change, it's really important that we turn to God. And that's what John 15 is all about. Jesus He's saying, he's the branch. He's saying, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Get connected into me. Get your eyes on me. Remain in me. I'm not going to read all the verses now. You can go away and read it. But in these verses, he talks about remaining in his words. Remaining in his words. Remain in scripture. Remain in the things that God has said to us that we know to be true, that we know he's faithful. It says, remain in prayer. That lines up with what the prophetic word that I just brought back. Get in on our knees and calling out to God. We need to be on our knees in this season. This is a season for us to pray as we go through change, that God would bring his kingdom through us and that he would help us as we go through change to work out how best to do things, and for those that are feeling uncomfortable or unsettled, that God would help us with all of that. And these verses in John 15 also talk about remaining in his love, and the way that it says that we remain in his love is by being obedient to his commands. And so there is a call on us here to be in word and in prayer in this season of change. And so I want to encourage us as individuals and as small groups and as a church to be living that stuff out. And thirdly, in a season of change, it's important to look at the fruit. Verse 2, John 15, Jesus said that the gardener, the Father, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it'll be even more fruitful. And so there's a challenge here for us to open our eyes and our minds and our arms and to be aware of what God is doing, to be grateful for what God is doing. But also there'll be some things where maybe we've done these things in the past and that they're no longer bearing fruit in this season. And there'll be things that we need to cut off and not do anymore. And the reason that we need to do that is because we don't want to expend energy and resources on things that aren't being fruitful. Maybe things that have been fruitful in a previous season that are not going to be fruitful in this season. And that's okay. Things are going to change. And we've got to be okay with that. But we look to the fruit. We see what we see what God is doing. And we invest in those things. And so, I just want to encourage you to stand with me if you're able. I'm going to just pray for us. Pray this in. And firstly, Father God, we want to thank you for what you have grown. We want to thank you for the seeds that have been planted through finance and through prayer and through energy and gifts. Gifts that people have invested of their skills and abilities. I want to thank you so much for what you are growing, what you've already grown, and what you're going to continue to grow through us as a church. I want to thank you that we are part of your kingdom, which is growing not just through this church in this town, but by many churches in this town and many churches in this nation and in this world. The name of Jesus is going out and bearing fruit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are part of a growing kingdom. And we want to welcome what you are doing. We want to say we embrace what you are doing. We are so pleased with what you are doing, Lord God, and pleased to be part of it. And we want to ask that you would help us to continue to play our part. Would you come and fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you come and resource us? Would you come and help us over the coming weeks and months as we get used to being in this new place? Would you help us that we would keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord Jesus, and what it is that you're wanting us to do and what it is that you're already doing? The places where your kingdom is already growing. We want to say we trust you. We want to say we are your church. We want to say this is your building, your place. And we commit to turn to you and to pray to you. God, would you teach us to pray as a church? God, would you teach us to pray as a church, to get on our knees and call out to you in ways that we've prayed before and in ways that are going to be new for us. Would you teach us to get into your words and to love your words, Lord Jesus? Would you teach us to be full of your Spirit and to steward your Holy Spirit well amongst us as a church? I just want to pray for anyone here who finds change difficult. Where you are right now, I just pray. Holy Spirit, would you come and bring the peace of Jesus and the comfort of Jesus to those people that find change difficult. That this would not be a season where everything feels uncomfortable and they want to kind of go off in a different direction. But Lord Jesus, would you help bring people in? This would be a place where people feel as though they can belong. Even those that have felt like they've belonged previously in a different place and now feel like, do I still belong? God, would you bring people in again? Would you join us together, unite us as a church? We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.